Carnal Warfare. Excerpts from My Elder Joseph the Hesychast by Elder Ephraim of Arizona and Counsels from the Holy Mountain, selected from the Letters and Homilies of Yerenda Ephraim of Arizona. From My Elder Joseph the Hesychast, Advice on Carnal Warfare. When I first went to Elder Joseph, I had carnal thoughts and warfare. By the grace of God, when I was in the world, I did not have any carnal experiences. I had been on the path of piety ever since I was young, with an ascetical mother and an Athenite spiritual father. As a child, I kept the fasts and said my prayers. I was completely chaste. But even so, the devil fought against me right from the beginning of my time with Elder Joseph. So I confessed the warfare to him and asked him what I should do. He replied, "What should you do? Strike the fantasy. And when the devil's attacks intensify, take a cane and hit yourself. Sacrifice your body so that your soul can live. Carnal thoughts and warfare are confronted with a cane, which you should keep under your pillow. If you don't face this beast in this manner, tooth and nail, the flesh does not submit to the spirit. In this way does a person gradually acquire the flower and the fragrance of chastity and purity, things that have great boldness before God." "Oh," I replied, "so that's how this warfare is." I began fighting back. Whenever I encountered great difficulty with carnal thoughts, I gave myself a good beating. I had a cane under my pillow, as Yerenda had told me, so that I would be ready when thoughts came in my sleep or when I was lying down. After resisting the thoughts for a while like this, a fragrance started coming out of my blankets. It was a spiritual fragrance, not like the perfumes of this world, but something otherworldly. What was it from? It was a result of the purity that came about by resisting the thoughts. God didn't pay attention to the thoughts, but saw the struggle and rewarded it by sending a heavenly fragrance that filled my soul. This became a lesson for me that confirmed what Yerenda taught. Then I said to myself, "How beautiful this warfare is!" This is how we learn from Elder Joseph that temptations require forcefulness and resistance in order for the passion to abate. For he who battles us is a demon, a being that has only a specific amount of strength with which God has allowed him to fight us. As soon as this limit is reached, he will most certainly yield. And then what happens? The struggler is crowned, and victory is his. Thoughts had to come. We had to do battle just as every struggling soul does. We had warfare, sometimes with this passion and sometimes with another. It was good for us. When the warfare ceased, we had peace for a few days. We could see that we then lacked the spiritual elevation we had had when the battles and resistance lifted us up. When I was suffering great temptations, Yerenda said to me, "You are undergoing the warfare that only older, spiritually mature people have. For you to have such temptations means either that this experience and toil will be useful for you in the future, or that a significant amount of God's grace will visit you." But since I was surrounded by the midst of the thoughts of those temptations, I thought I was losing the battle, and I couldn't grasp then that those wise words of his were prophetic. His words were very few, but they were solid gold. Chastity. Purity is not acquired by playing around, Yerenda taught us. Chastity does not come to man without a bloody struggle with the thoughts. Even if a monk has not had any carnal fall in the world, the demon of fornication will still wage a real war against him, and even more so, naturally, if he has had a sinful past. The demons start the warfare in the imagination. They cultivate it with thoughts. They defile the noose. They take it down into the heart, and they make both the soul and the body filthy. What decides a person's entire progress or failure is whether he gives into or resists the attacks of the imagination. If he makes the mistake of beginning a dialogue with a sinful assault and accepting the devil's garbage by his own consent, what will follow are falls of the soul, mind, heart, and body. As a result, the passion will take him captive. Our holy elder emphasized to us that when a monk falls into a carnal sin, it takes a great struggle afterwards to escape from it. If he does not win that bloody fight, God will give him other labors for the rest of his life. This is why young people must make an effort to struggle, resist, and repulse this demon. In this way will the victory of chastity arise, which will play an important role in both the present and future life. For no one unclean will dwell in God's resplendent paradise. He also explained to us that chastity is assisted by working at noetic prayer, toiling to keep vigil, punctually keeping one's prayer rule, being watchful over one's imagination and rational mind, and always using caution. Genuine and sincere obedience, frank confession, tears, repentance, maintaining the correct attitude of a disciple towards his elder, and abstinence in general are all aids, medicines, and means that help monks, but also every Christian, to acquire chastity as well as power in prayer. Facing carnal warfare. One day a monk passed by and mentioned to Elder Joseph that he had intense carnal warfare. Yaranda told him to stop drinking wine, to fast, to tighten his belt, to drive away filthy fantasies, and to use a cane, and then he could be sure that the warfare would subside. A little while later, that same monk returned and said that he had followed his instructions, but the warfare still continued. Then Yaranda took a cane and said to him, "Take this cane and hit yourself so that I can see how hard you hit." So he took the cane, and he hit himself so lightly that he was in essence just tapping himself. Then Yaranda took the cane, lifted up his own cassock, and started hitting his legs so hard that the cane broke after the third hit. The monk said in awe, "Yaranda, is that how we're supposed to hit ourselves? My child, this is how the demons are cast out, not with tapping." Moreover, Yaranda told me the following significant teaching. "My child, carnal warfare is not set aflame so much by excessive eating, drinking, wine, and sleep, as it is by judging others." "Why, Yaranda?" "So that we learn that we all have the same nature, the same devil fights us, and that we are all liable of being judged." "Would you like to hear something even more amazing?" "What, Yaranda?" "A person who does not judge his neighbor gives evidence that he is saved. Whoever does not judge will not be judged, as the word of God verifies. Judge not, that ye be not judged." That is why he told us, "Has a judgmental thought about someone come to you? Don't just sit there, debating with yourself whether that person is to blame or not. Justify everyone, and take all the blame yourself. As soon as you start having negative thoughts about someone else, there is a danger that you will judge him. Just interrupt the thoughts and say to yourself, 'What he is saying and doing is right. My ego is making me think evil about my brother, and so there's no point trying to analyze it.' If you don't face the assaults of judgmental thoughts in this manner, whether you express them outwardly or cultivate them within you, you will have carnal warfare. And if you still don't come to your senses then grace will abandon you, and you will fall. And if you do not repent after your fall and continue to judge others, your falls will have very serious consequences." For this reason, he taught us that no matter which passion fights a monk, he must confront it right from the beginning until it is annihilated. Even the slightest concession can lead to perdition. Indeed, there are some heroic souls with so much love and desire for God that when they perceive that unclean pleasure is attempting to subjugate their freedom and darken their noose, they try to drive away the pleasure through pain in order to keep themselves pure and clean in God's eyes. This is a hard saying, but a soul that has tasted the ineffable love of God cannot allow itself any slip into sin. That is what my elder was like. As a layman, he was young, brave, and determined to fight to the end. There was no room for mediocrity. He forced himself, he exerted himself, and he displayed utter patience. With such good intentions, how could the grace of God not help him and elevate him to the lofty state that he reached? In Counsels from the Holy Mountain, Elder Ephrem writes, "You wrote to me, my child, about your carnal warfare. Be patient. With the grace of God, everything will pass. Nothing will be left of it as long as you struggle. Whatever fights against you will be short-lived if you oppose it valiantly. Carnal warfare will accompany you throughout your youth, but according to your struggle, it will subside and become tolerable. The passion of pride, however, will continue for a long time beyond your youth. But you will find some rest from this passion for a while, according to the struggle and spiritual knowledge with which you resist. These two passions are the strongest of all. Upon these two passions, the entire edifice of sin stands. Each one is a component of the other. Both are formidable lions. But our Jesus, with a single cheerful glance, is able to render them carrion for the vultures." 2. The terrible passion of fornication is difficult to fight against, especially when it is strengthened by former predispositions. But God knows how to deliver those who take refuge in Him with humility, for He knows how easily our nature slips. 3. My child, you wrote about your carnal warfare. Know that it stems from pride, so that you may humble yourself and learn that if grace leaves us, we fall and become a piteous spectacle. So humble yourself, blame yourself, ask our Panagia to grant you a spirit of humility so that you may come to know and feel that you are nothing, a zero. For our Jesus says, "Without me you can do nothing." From the temptation that came upon you, learn how man falls and how low he can fall. There are even worse falls for those who have more pride. Do not be distressed. It is a temptation and it will pass. God permits such things to happen for our benefit, so that we may become wise through temptations. Be patient and brave. Take courage. It will pass. It is a storm, and in this way will the sea throw out all the rubbish that the preceding peace accumulated. Do not grieve more than necessary, for this is from the devil, and this grief will lead you to negligence and laxity. Persist in your struggle, and do not be afraid. Disregard Satan, and show that you do not attach any importance to him. Then, since he is proud, he will leave. But as long as you pay attention to his attacks, he will not. 4. When you have carnal warfare, be very careful with filthy fantasies, which produce dirty thoughts. Stop and expel fantasies as soon as they come. Immediately say the prayer with pain of soul, and at once you will be delivered from the warfare. 5. Do not lose heart, my child. It is a battle and it will pass. All the saints were fought against. They had such great warfare that in despair they took poisonous snakes and put them on their bodies so that they would be bitten and die. But since we are weak, God does not allow us to be fought beyond our strength, but instead He will help us. However, He permits this warfare so that we may humble ourselves. Do not grieve more than necessary, but with great humility throw yourself before God and blame yourself. Immediately drive away every evil thought as soon as it comes, and I hope that the grace of God will relieve you. Do not fear. You will suffer no harm. Drive away cowardice. Have courage. Everything will pass, as you will see, while this warfare will leave behind much benefit for you, and God will give you much grace. Just do not lose heart, because this is how we lose the contest. 6. From the Holy Mountain, June 30th, 1958. My beloved brother in Christ, I received your letter and saw the mental warfare you are going through with the evil spirit of sin, of fornication. My brother, listen to a pauper in knowledge with a soul bereft of any good. When one struggles against sin with humility and the fear of God, with fervent spiritual work and with the guidance of an experienced spiritual father, God will never let him be lost. Only when he neglects his spiritual duties, and especially when he becomes proud, thinking that he is something, then it is possible for him to slip. But even then, If he seeks forgiveness with humility, he gets up again and is healed again. For the Lord's mercy is near to those of a contrite heart. However, many trials occur for one to gain experience in spiritual wisdom, for without temptations, it is impossible to obtain experience. Experience is not a skill derived from learning, but it is to have practical knowledge of the benefit and harm of temptations. If God does not let a person fall into temptations a little, it is impossible for him to become conscientious. When someone does something with good intentions, yet later it turns out that what he did was not right, God, since he observes the heart and tries the purpose for every deed, will bring things back to normal and will enlighten him to realize what he should have done. Infallibility belongs to God alone. No matter how perfect the saints were, they still had some blemishes. Therefore, they would go through temptations to obtain greater humility and caution, and to grow patient with their weak nature. A touch of anger, laughter, or idle talk does not take away a saint's holiness. Only one must keep in mind not to despair. Even if one slips and sins 10,000 times a day, it is not justifiable in God's eyes for him to despair, but rather he should be hopeful and prepare for a fight until God's mercy comes and delivers him. There was once a monk who happened to slip and sin by himself continually, yet he would always arise at once and do his prayer rule. The demon that kept throwing him into sin lost his patience, seeing the courage and hopefulness of this brother. So he visibly appeared to him and said to him with vexation, "Don't you fear God, you defiled wretch? You have just sinned, so with what face can you now stand before God? Aren't you afraid that God will burn you?" But since this brother had a valiant soul, he said to the demon, "This cell is a forge. You hit and get hit. As God is my witness, who came to save the world, and will not stop fighting you, falling and getting up, beating and being beaten, until my final breath, and let's see who will win, you or Christ." When the demon heard this unexpected reply, he said, "I won't fight you anymore. Because if I do, I'll make you win crowns." Thenceforth, this brother was delivered from the warfare, and he sat in his cell weeping for his sins. When God enlightens a person and he repents for his sins and walks with humility and caution, God does not let him be lost. Of course, his predispositions for his previous sins will become thorns and hindrances to him. But when he sees the waves rising menacingly, he should not despair, thinking that he will fall and be lost. On the contrary, he should hope in God with faith and struggle with humility under the spiritual guidance and training of his spiritual father, without fearing the violent storm that rose. 7. The devil, of course, will not remain inactive. He also has his own weapons. Which ones? For instance, he whispers to us, "You can't do anything. I will throw you down again. Don't you see the magnitude of this passion, the bulk of that weakness? Bear in mind that I'm not defeated so easily, and that I'm not about to retreat. Besides, what have you achieved until now? Nothing. Nor will I ever let you do anything in the future. All your efforts are going to waste. I am invincible. Don't you see my might?" And at once he displays filthy fantasies with intensely powerful carnal pleasure. He seems armed like a scorpion, and then he makes the struggler think that it is impossible for him to escape, and that he should put up his hands and surrender. These and countless other things does the insidious instigator craftily display. So onward! Let us expose the lie of his traps, and let us reveal the rustiness of his weapons. The warrior of the mighty God, trusting in Christ's invincible power and actually feeling it, begins the serious battle courageously, raising the banner of the awesome cross and armed with the name of Jesus, which is dreadful to the demons. He calls upon it constantly and vigorously, and thus keeps the imagination from giving in to the insidious and silly assaults of the devil, while always reflecting on death, judgment, hell, the delight of paradise and eternal glory beside Jesus, the feats of the saints, and so on. And all this is like ammunition supplying power to prayer. Then despair, negligence, egotism, and depravity are put to flight. The struggler is filled with zeal, and Satan's exaggerations collapse and burst like a thin balloon. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, of Elder Joseph the Hesychast, and Elder Ephrem of Arizona, O Lord Jesus Christ our God, have mercy on us. Amen.